From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Security questions continue to swirl around Georgia's electoral process. Lawmakers largely agree that the state's current touchscreen voting machines have to go. They don't leave a paper trail, and a number of analysts worry that they could be hacked. The question isn't whether the machines need to be replaced, but how. The Secretary of State's office has created a commission to answer that question. GPB Politics reporter Stephen Fowler was at that group's meeting this week, is in the studio now with us. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning.
Also here, Political Rewind host Bill Nygut. We're going to discuss how lawmakers might act on this issue. Bill, always great to have you with us.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Well, I'm going to start with you. Before Stephen talks us through possible solutions that the commission's been discussing this week, could you help us understand the problem? Just how out of date are Georgia's voting machines, and what does that mean?
Well, they're so out of date that they use a version of Microsoft's operating system that Microsoft no longer supports, which is never a good thing.
Yeah.
They're terribly out of date. There's significant concerns, as you've already pointed out, about their reliability, even without regard to the potential for hacking of the machines. So even before this election cycle began, in which the notion of voter suppression and other issues that some claim surrounded how the election was run by the Secretary of State's office, even before that, it was clear that legislators were going to have to start thinking about paying for new machines, which is why Brian Kemp put a commission in place well before the election cycle began.
And Stephen, you've been at this Secure, Accessible, and Fair Elections Commission meeting, SAFE for short. Who's on the commission and how did it come into being?
Well, so the commission is a bipartisan commission that, like Bill said, former Secretary of State, now Governor-elect Brian Kemp put together. The current co-chairs are Interim Secretary of State Robin Crittenden and Representative Barry Fleming. And so you have two House members, two Senate members, two Republicans, two Democrats, and you have different county elections officials from across the state, large and small. You've got representatives of the political parties there and some experts on things like cybersecurity and accessibility. So altogether, they are this commission tasked with kind of vetting the future of Georgia's voting machines and voting systems.
Now, Bill, you've spoken with lawmakers about the issue. Do you get a sense that this commission is going to go anywhere? I mean, are lawmakers serious about addressing this before 2020?
Absolutely. This is the new voting is going to be put in place, new ways of voting. Representative Mary Margaret Oliver, a real veteran of the legislature, was on Political Rewind yesterday. She's a key member of the Government Operations Committee, which is going to have something to say about all this. And she made it clear to us that there's no question that Democrats and Republicans alike want to do something. The key question is, what kind of voting will we go to? And that was something that certainly came up when Stephen was down at the SAFE Commission meeting yesterday.
What did you hear, Stephen?
Well, so the commission has, this is their third meeting. The last one they had was canceled when the hurricane came through, and they're going to have one more meeting in January before they make their official recommendations and vote on them. So they've been hearing presentations from different people, different groups, different vendors. Yesterday morning opened with a presentation about restoring trust in the voting system, and Garland Favorito was with a group called Voter GA, and he gave a presentation about all of the different ways people don't trust the system, different problems that have been having. He showed things about lost votes or votes not counting or votes you touch the machine for one candidate and it goes to the other, and kind of walked the commission through all of the problems that have been faced in the 16 years Georgia's been using the current system and why people don't necessarily trust the system to accurately reflect their vote and count it. And so he also made suggestions on how to improve it. You know, Georgia's next election system should do this, it should do that, it should have this. And these are ways that people could maybe have a little bit more faith and prove that the voting does count when they go on election day.
I'm trying to think of the machines, the computer I was using 16 years ago, and it's a little hard to imagine. Okay, but capitalizing on that, Bill, the Secretary of State, as you said, Brian Kemp, then Secretary of State, launched this election commission. So does he need to fortify trust in the electoral process, or is this about his own political capital?
No, I think that that the governor-elect, in fact, we're hearing, may very well support some legislation that would improve how we run elections in the state, that would reform some of the problems we've had in the past. We don't know for a fact that he's going to do that, but I think that he very well may, we're being told. Now, the key question that we're going to run into, and Stephen certainly saw this play out a little bit yesterday, is there is a contingent. The commission has a cybersecurity expert from Georgia Tech who's part of the organization. He is recommending that we need to go to handwritten ballots. You know, you fill out a little bubble and then feed it to an optical reader. He believes that's crucial because it would absolutely eliminate, he says, the possibility of in any
hacking,
way.
Right?
Yeah, any kind of hacking. So are we going to go to that kind of system? Or, as incoming Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has said repeatedly, are we just going to find a new kind of machine, computerized voting machine, that will leave a paper trail? And I do think there's going to be debate about those two basic concepts of how we will cast ballots in the future.
Well, I'm guessing there is something in between there, paper ballots and also computers that leave a paper trail. But Stephen, what are the next steps for this commission? I mean, how do we even get a new voting system?
Well, so there have been seven different vendors that have submitted different ideas and forms of replacing the voting system. And the voting system is not just the machines. There's the machines we cast the votes, but then there's also the voter registration database that's used to say, okay, here's your ballot, here's who you're supposed to be voting for. There's also the election night reporting system where, you know, you've got to get the votes counted and uploaded and put somewhere. So that's part of the system. So there's a lot of different options, and this group has seen them, they've tested them, they've watched different presentations. So they're going to put together recommendations with the Secretary of State's office on what all to do with the election system and how things would be changed. Another thing that was brought up yesterday is that the state's election code is going to have to be changed. It's not just buying a new machine and plugging it in and going. You know, there's different mechanisms for counting ballots, for challenging ballots, for mail-in ballots and things. And so there's a pretty substantial legislative overhaul that's going to happen. But that's going to depend on what system is selected. So like Bill was saying, there are really two main camps of potential systems. One is hand-marked paper ballots that are scanned by some sort
optical
of optical
reader,
scanner,
yeah.
Or there's something called ballot marking devices, which is that kind of middle ground that you were talking about, where you go to some sort of machine and make your votes, and it will print out a piece of paper. Now, the piece of paper could have a barcode that is then scanned. It could have a barcode with your votes printed out underneath it, so you can look and say, yes, I did vote for George Washington for president. Or, you know, there's a bunch of different options that have their own pros and cons. So it's really going to be up to this group to figure out the best recommendations and then how to change all of the different parts and pieces and laws.
You know, it's going to be yesterday on our show, Mary Margaret Oliver said, we got to get moving on this now. I mean, 2020 is closer than you think, and she's right. You not only have to decide what you're going to use to vote on. By the way, the feds will pay a good portion mm-hmm. of the cost of all
I
this.
I want to get the cost.
But the other reason you've got to get going now is not just to acquire the machines. I remember very clearly when Georgia switched to computerized voting machines, there was an enormous public education program that had to be put in place mm-hmm. so that all of us understood exactly how we voted on the machines. I remember being a reporter called to a meeting with then Secretary of State Kathy Cox, in which she demonstrated one of these machines and asked us if we would be willing to work with her to do stories that showed people how to do it. And of course, because it was a public service, we said yes. But the next Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is going to have to launch a similar education effort. So it is not too early to make this happen.
Well, let's talk about paying for them. At one point, the Secretary of State's office threw out a rough estimate of $100 million to provide Georgia polling places with mm-hmm. a certain type of new machines. So how does the federal government, they are going to be helping to pay for it. Where does that money come from, and how much will Georgia be on the hook for?
We don't know exactly the cost yet. We can say this. Number one, the feds will most likely pay for the majority of the costs of the machines because it's in the interest. The federal government does, in fact, budget money for state election processes. That's another thing that people who support the hand-marked ballot say is a reason to go to it. It is by far the cheapest way to vote. And I can't remember, I think I saw a cost of about $30 million to go to paper balloting as opposed to several hundred million for new machines.
Well, and some of the cost with the machines, you have an upfront cost. You have to buy the machines, you have to do the training, you have to educate people and everything. But the hand-marked paper ballot camp, it's cheaper upfront because you would just have to buy on-demand ballot printers to have in different counties and locations. And so you don't have to print off, okay, I'm going to assume I need 10 million. Million ballots, you print off enough, and then as people come in, there's these printers that can print the ballots safely and securely at the location. So the cost is cheaper up front, but then more later. And the big piece of that, too, will be the education budget. The commission yesterday said that definitely there needs to be some sort of budget in to educate voters, especially if it's something different like paper ballots, which is not what people have been used to for the past 16 years.
So after this commission makes its recommendation, of course, it goes to the legislature. But if it costs that much money, is legislative action needed to fund this specifically? Or is this something that, for example, Governor-elect Kemp could stick into the budget? Or does it have to be hashed out?
No, legislators will have to approve the budget. They'll have to find room for it in the budget. You know, those legislators, they want to have something to say about how the state spends its money.
Well, but you said there are two camps of on the methodology. How about camps on, we're not going to spend this money? Have you been hearing that from any of the legislators?
Well, you know, I talked to State Senator Brian Strickland, who is in the Senate. He's a Republican from McDonough, and he's one of Governor-elect Kemp's floor leaders who will be helping shepherd the legislation. And he said that there won't be any sort of issues in the legislature convincing people something needs to change, but there's going to be the debate about how to change because the Democrats may have one idea, Republicans may have one idea, people who don't want to spend a lot of money on it may have another idea. So it's going to take some more conversations and massaging through the legislature. This is not something that's going to be passed day one of the legislature. Boom, we're finished, we're done, move on to the next thing.
Well, of course, the courts are also involved with this. Our new governor and state lawmakers have been embroiled in this. Can you give us an update on the various lawsuits over election security?
So, fun fact, yesterday at the commission meeting, the general counsel for the Secretary of State's office gave a brief overview of some of the litigation, and it was really brief because many of the people who are suing the state were also in that room watching. So, the general counsel didn't want to give too many details about their defense or give too many details about it because some of the people they were going up against were in the room. But there's still the Curling v. Kemp paper ballots lawsuit that kind of started off a lot of the litigation trying to force Georgia to move to hand-marked paper ballots. That's currently in an appeal in federal court. And so if that appeal is unsuccessful or successful, you know, it could go back to Judge Totenberg and she could have more decisions to make in kind of forcing Georgia's hand with how the election system are changed. Another lawsuit is filed by the Coalition for Good Governance, an outside group, trying to get a redo of the lieutenant governor's election because there were about 100,000 or so less votes in that election than any other statewide race. And that has to do with the touchscreen machines and allegations that it didn't register. So there's plenty of other lawsuits that popped up here and there about absentee ballots and other things. And so, you know, there's a lot of lawsuits. There's a lot of things that are going to be resolved either by the courts or by a new system.
All right. I'm guessing that we might start seeing our candidates for 2020 before we start seeing these machines. I want to thank you both so much for your help.
Thanks, Virginia.
Thanks
for coming in. GPB Politics reporter Stephen Fowler and Political Rewind host Bill Nygut. Coming up, you weren't dreaming if you felt the earth move early yesterday morning. Can Georgia expect more earthquakes? We're going to ask some people who know when On Second Thought returns.